Hello.
Hi, Jesse. We are good to go.
Awesome.
All right. Let's start with your year of graduation, including if you finished up spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
Yeah, sure. So I finished just in the winter of, or I guess it would be spring of 2020. And my major was music business.
Great. And what was your concentration there, like your track, entrepreneur, management?
That's a great question. I'm not sure if I ever selected that through the Berkeley Online program. I'm not sure that we had a focus like that.
Oh, I forgot you were Berkeley Online. My apologies.
Yeah. That's okay. No problem.
Yep. Got it. And then, cool. And actually, in Berkeley Online, did you have a principal instrument?
Do I have a principal instrument, you said?
Yeah. Was that like an official thing at Berkeley Online?
Oh, no, it was not. No, that was not either.
Got it. You're not my first Berkeley Online person, but I've but it's a minority.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right. No harm, no foul. Well, very cool. So let's go on. We'll get to your history later.
Sure.
But for now, tell us about your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
Yeah, sure. So I currently work for a digital marketing company called Publicis Sapient. They're a pretty large company based out of Boston. I work in Michigan, where I live. There's an office here, but I work mostly remotely, and I'm a resource manager for them. So my job is to make sure that all of their full-time employees and contractors have something to do, essentially. I maintain all of their work allocations and look at the work that is to come, and all of the new business that we have, and try to make sure that every project has a person assigned to it. I only manage the creative people, so visual designers, content strategists, CXI and research is kind of thrown in there too, but so mostly just all of the creative folks. And my job is just to make sure that they're all staffed to a project, and I manage a large array of people and skills, all different career stages too, so my focus is really on the people from my seat, and I'm focused on their career growth and making sure that they continue to feel fulfilled in their role and they're meeting their core competency model and continue to grow as much as they can.
So a question there, how big's the company about in terms of number of people?
That's a great question. I believe Publicis Sapient employs about 15,000 people.
Oh, that's a lot. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And I think you were alluding to this because when you started to talk about your job, This was sounding to me like a project manager, but then went on talking more like, I can't tell, is this just what your own company calls a project manager, or is there something really different between what you do and what a project manager does?
Yeah, it's quite different actually. So a project manager more manages the life of a specific project, and is more account facing and deals with the clients and all of the people, and more make sure that the parts of the project are on track for what the client's expectations are, for what the agreement is between the company and the client. My role is really just to fill the roles. So the company that I work for works quite differently than what most advertising agencies that I've heard of, at least. There are a few other companies that are underneath the Publicis Group, which is the parent company umbrella, like Razorfish and Digitas, Leo Burnett, to name a few. That don't have the same exact staffing process. So really, I work more as like a resource manager. My focus is more on the people than it is on the project.
Okay, cool. And then my next question, and again, sorry, these are silly questions, trying to figure out, would you say that your career falls under the umbrella of human resources? But because it sounds a little different. Like, are you people supervisors, or are you just kind of doing your little bit to allocate people the right way, if that makes
sense? So we're not supervisors, and I wouldn't say that it falls under human resources. At least it doesn't at my company. So we're part of the internal team, which is what they call like HQ employees. So we don't the human resources team is grouped together with the recruiting and hiring teams, and other teams that go on to recruit, you know, early careers folks from right out of college and things of that nature. But so I don't work for the human resources department at all. And we're not branched with them at least. And I'm sorry, what was the second part of your question?
I think I asked if you were people's supervisor. You said
I'm not a supervisor at all either. We really just maintain the allocations of people who are working on the projects and focus on the incoming projects that are, like I said, new business focused as well, and make sure that there are people allocated to them. So there's always someone to work on the project.
Yeah. And as you said, 15,000 people, this doesn't sound like the type of position that's at a 200-person company.
Yeah, so I don't manage all 15,000. You know, there's a large array of people who work for the company.
Can you ballpark how many you do?
Yeah, I manage probably about 400 people. So quite a bit less, but some other people who are in my position that manage a different skill set of people, because again, I really only manage like the creative folks here, right? So some other people will manage the engineering or dev team or project managers or client partners or something like that, right? Each of them kind of has a Jesse, if you will, to manage their allocation and growth from their perspective, and then also from the business side to make sure that all of the new work that's coming in has someone to work on.
So it sounds like you might be both making sure people are, you know, kept busy working, but also I'm guessing if you're putting together teams, you presumably have to check people's skill sets and make sure that they are going to be able to do the job. Would that be accurate?
Exactly right. Yeah. So I work with what we call like the experience leads. So they would be someone who is kind of like the head of their department, who is more client facing, that has a good understanding of the work from their craft specific lens. So, or their skill specific lens rather. So I work with them to try and build a team. And a lot of what I do, is strategy based, and there's a lot of creative problem solving to, exactly as you said, put together a team based on the skills and their career level, whether they be a junior associate or a senior manager or something along those lines, anywhere in between. So yeah, that's definitely a large part of my job.
Gotcha. And do you work much with other resource managers, or is it like you each are in a different place doing your things in parallel?
Yeah, so my manager is called the staffing strategist, and her job is to view the, really what it's called, more of the strategy overall based on the quarterly guidance that comes in from all of our clients to try and figure out when it's time to hire or when it's time to, unfortunately, sometimes let people go, something along those lines, right? So not that those decisions necessarily fall on her, but just more of a data analytical, you know, position rather than mine, which is more dealing with the people. So I do work with her very closely on my group of people. And then, again, the creative folks is my group of people. And then there are other teams within the resource team. We call it the staffing team. So there are other teams, much like myself and my boss, who then deal with different people based on their skill set as well. Again, whether they be project managers or whether they be engineering focused or something like that.
Gotcha. I understand. Very cool. And you said it's a remote position, correct?
So it's currently a hybrid position. I do go into the office here in Birmingham, Michigan, just about 3 days a week, although I was hired in as a remote employee, and I worked the first about year and a half of my employment remotely.
All right, cool. About how many hours a week do you work?
I probably work real hours. I mean, you know, it's a 9-to-5 job, so I work 40 hours a week, but it varies. I mean, some weeks are slower than others, and some weeks are more busy, so I think probably on the higher end of what I have worked so far at this job might be closer to something like 50 hours a week, maybe 55 at the most. You know, I try to be a team player, and then the job demands different things at different times of the year when we have, you know, large spurts of work and when things are a little bit slower. So it kind of, you know, affects my job in that manner as well. But I think at the lowest, you know, there's always something to do, right? So I'd say just about 40 hours a week, short answer.
Sure. Very cool. And could you take us through a typical day?
Yeah, sure.
Like hour by hour. Work day, that is. I don't need to hear about you brushing your teeth.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so starting my work day, a lot of my job is reporting based. So I make a lot of manual reports, and then I do a lot of data analysis within our internal systems as well. So my day typically starts checking emails and checking our reporting systems to see where the people I manage are currently at, because while we have a lot of people that are currently in the middle of a project, there are a lot of people that we're trying to assign to a project. So let's say, for example, new work comes in. I have 10 people who are available that could potentially take that job, but each one has a little bit of a different skill. So I'm looking for those people in the reports in the morning to see what their current status is, if they've had a client interview, if they're still waiting to get in front of the team, if their resume is updated, all those kinds of things, to kind of see where they are in the pipeline of being considered for work. So that's typically the beginning of my day, and that comes in through the system and then also through other communication channels, like just via Teams message, or we use Outlook for email, so those kinds of things too. That's typically the beginning of my day. Depending on the day of the week, I'll have different meetings. So a lot of my meetings are just one-on-ones with the people that I manage to talk to them about what new work is coming if they currently don't have a project to work on. So a lot of my kind of more off days, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, like beginning and end of the week, are spent talking to people one-on-one. And just trying to figure out what experience they've gained on their project, if they liked it, how the environment was. We focus on the culture. We focus on the skills that they've learned, the people they worked with, the team structure and environment, all sorts of things that I could rattle off if we wanted to get into more detail, but essentially meeting with people one-on-one. And then ultimately my day is really based around, again, trying to get people in those assignments. So sometimes it's meeting with team leads to talk about what the team should look like. But in the middle of my week, for a typical day, I have staffing strategy meetings where I meet with the heads of each department that I manage. So in the creative world, there are multiple skill sets. I manage the visual designers, user experience designers, content strategists, copywriters, customer experience strategists, and research folks are all grouped under my experience or creative umbrella. So I meet with the head of each one of those skill sets every week to talk strategy on who is currently available and looking for work, who is busy, what kind of new business we have coming in. So a lot of my job is strategy focused. And as you can tell, I spend a lot of my time on the phone as well. But other than that, the end of my day is really spent reporting on everything that I've done. If someone's landed on a project, if they're still looking for a project, what possible targets they may have, any notes on them personally, but lots of reporting for sure at the end of the day.
Cool. And so, Jesse, in order to qualify for these interviews, one of the criteria you have to hit is that you enjoy what you do. So what part of being a resource specialist do you enjoy?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think as a musician, one thing that I really enjoyed was the social aspect of it, you know, and that's something that I've always enjoyed is talking, connecting with people and growing my network. And in a lot of ways, this job is a lot of that. Like I said, I have a lot of meetings one-on-one with people where I get to know them. I get to know their skills. I've spent a lot of time as a music teacher as well, just teaching private lessons. And a lot of what that was about for me was finding strengths in students to try to help them use them to the best of their ability and try to help them succeed based on the specific skills that they have. So a lot of my job is now focused on that, which is really fulfilling for me in a very similar way that it was as a music teacher. So those aspects of it are definitely most fulfilling, but I've always had an interest in business as well, with my degree through Berkeley in music business too. So the nice part of this is getting to work with the business side of folks, whether it be finance or client partner or project manager, something like that, in some capacity to focus on the business side of things as well. So it's nice to have that, rather kind of have one foot in that arena, if you will, as well. That part of it is fulfilling for me to kind of develop my knowledge of business and continue to further myself in that way as well.
Fantastic. Thank you. All right. I was going to say we'll take it back down to 2020. But If you feel this story has a logical earlier starting point, let's take it back further from there. Because a lot of people, it's like they're graduating, they have no idea they'll end up doing what they're doing, and then let's talk about the past. But sometimes people are like, well, actually, you know, I did this internship 3 years before and that put me on the path. So let's kind of talk about kind of how you got from, can I say, musician or aspiring musician to what you're doing now. And we'll both talk about what you were doing, but also where you were at mentally in terms of your career.
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. I think very important for any young musician to have that realization too, or to work through that thought process. So I'm happy to answer that. So throughout my experience at Berklee, I was a professional musician focusing on live performance. I did have an original band as well, and we were writing music and trying to focus on that as much as possible. I also played in a popular cover band around town, and then I also taught music lessons on top of it. So I was really involved in the local Detroit music scene, at least as much as I could be at the time. Come 2020, obviously all of that stopped as the COVID-19 pandemic happened. So that was, quite a change in my lifestyle in many ways. I tried to stay as active as I could, performing on social media, doing those kinds of things. But it got to be a point to where it was difficult to maintain a presence and create all that content all the time. And a lot of my students dropped off as well. We switched to virtual lessons. So that was kind of challenging. And to speak on the mental side of things, I felt like a little bit of, kind of having like an identity crisis in a way, right? Of trying to feel like, well, it's come time to where I feel like I need to do something else, but I want to be a musician so badly, and I want my focus to be music. And I think in a lot of ways it could. There were a lot of opportunities that came my way that I could have pursued. But for me, it really came down to more the, I think, at least what I would call like the big picture life decisions. I live in Michigan, just outside of Detroit. And the music scene here is great in a lot of ways, but what it doesn't have, and what I was focusing on at Berklee, is trying to be involved in the sync world. So either becoming a music supervisor or working for a sync agency or writing music for film and television, something along those lines. The opportunities for that in Michigan are not many of them. So sure. I was faced with the decision to either move to a city like LA or possibly New York, or just a place that had more of those opportunities, or stay here in Michigan and focus on family life. I had a longtime girlfriend. I loved the Detroit music scene. So there was a lot of reasons that were pointing me to stay in Michigan. And I ultimately ended up choosing that over trying to pursue what I wanted to do as a career. I think this part may be helpful for young musicians who are trying to figure out what they want to do too, is this was kind of part of my identity crisis and then ultimately epiphany on the decision I made, and feeling confident and sound in that decision every day, was that at least for myself growing up as a 90s kid, I was really taught, to do what you love, right? My dad was a big three guy. He worked for General Motors, and I think they came from that generation of like just having to do something, right? But I think their parents, being like my grandparents' generation, pushed them like be a doctor, lawyer, something like that, right? It was all focused on having a great job. And then my parents focused on, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. And I think that's what led me to be a musician in a lot of ways. But that also made it really difficult for me. I think that I didn't see for a long time that I put a lot of pressure on myself to be a musician above anything else. And really thought that was who I was. So anyway, for any young musician out there who's struggling with possibly doing something else other than being a musician, I found that myself, that I'm much more than a musician. Playing music is something that I do, but I don't have to be a musician as my main source of income in order to be fulfilled in my life and continue to focus on the other things that I like my other hobbies or my relationships or something like that, right? So there are many things that make me up. So that took a little while for me to uncover, but ultimately was a really great realization. So sorry to sidetrack there. I felt like that was a pretty important topic.
It's an important point. And
mental health, yeah.
If I ask you a question later on that relates to that, you can be like, oh, yeah, what I said earlier, and add on to later. We definitely cover that sort of thing.
Great. So anyway, back to the timeline of things and how I moved over here to now this resource manager position. So in 2020, I was just looking for work, and there wasn't a whole lot available to me, at least with my skill set of being a musician.
Oh, unemployment was really high.
It certainly was, yeah. And I was taking unemployment from the government at the time too, just to try and make it by. I mean, obviously not thinking at the time that it was going to last quite as long as it did, so Anyway, one of my good friends, who was a bass player in my band for a long time, his sister-in-law works for a recruiting company, like a third-party company, and she had a human resources job that was available. That was just an assistant position, and it was going into an office with no one else there, and I could wear a mask and help file papers because of all the unemployment documents that they had to take care of. So I ended up taking it. It was a contract position, and long story short, I found my way to another human resources position after that. I just kind of used it and thought I could continue on this path. I had a little bit of guidance from a family member who has had some experience in the human resources world and thought that I could make it a career for myself if I wanted to, or at least use it to get by at the time. And that was something that I needed, was that financial stability. So I ended up taking it and worked in that another human resources and recruiting position for just over a year.
Were you
And
working
then,
as a recruiter, like reaching out to people, or was this just...
yeah, yep, exactly right. So I worked for an automotive supplier company. They build like automotive testing tools. And I started off in the human resources department, doing all sorts of things like payroll and managing I-9s and, the typical kind of human resources stuff you might think of, onboarding, offboarding kinds of things. And then moved into more of a recruiting position, while still doing kind of a hybrid role. Where, yeah, exactly. I was reaching out to people, taking interviews, posting jobs, doing that kind of thing. After just some time of being at that company, and I decided it was time to move on, and I found a position that was labeled staffing, which is my current position, which is in the recruiting world how we talked about recruiting, the job recruiting quite a bit, like hiring someone for a job. So I thought it was a similar thing, but upon interviewing for this position, found that it was something entirely different, but something that I thought would fit my personality and my skill set very well. I spent a lot of time performing as a lead vocalist and networking and talking with people, and I felt confident in my ability to communicate and present myself. And this seemed like a job that would allow me to do that kind of thing and make those relationships and network, kind of as I mentioned before as well. So anyway, that is my story of how I ended up from being musician to now resource manager.
And I'm sorry if I missed it. Like in terms of the current job, that did you just like you were looking to move up? You saw the job advertised and applied, or was there somebody who knew you and put in the word or something?
Yeah, they was the former actually. So I was just looking to do something new, and found a job posting on LinkedIn for my current position, and interviewed a few rounds, and ended up getting the job.
Very cool. So
Yeah.
then this was what, 2022?
This would have been 2022. Yeah, that's correct.
Awesome, and here you are.
And here I am, 2 years later, still at the same company. It's been great.
Fantastic. All right, we'll move on to the third part of the interview of three. Let me preface the next question by saying that there is no right or wrong answer.
Sure.
So these days, meaning let's say 2024, what, if anything, has been your relationship with music?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, kind of like I mentioned earlier as well, that I was able to kind of take a lot of pressure off myself of being a musician. I felt like myself, and maybe someone else has a similar experience, but I stopped practicing and stopped trying to learn new songs and do a lot of stuff as I was kind of in a period of turmoil trying to figure out if I should play music or be in the music industry as my main source of income, feeling like that was my identity. And it took a while. So upon realizing I've been able to really just play music for myself in a much more enjoyable way, and I find myself practicing and wanting to learn all the time, and I think I've improved as an instrumentalist, 10 times that of what I did back in 2020, just looking at a single year. So it's been really fulfilling and refreshing, and it's really nice being able to do that without any added pressure. But also, I do play music still. I still do perform. I don't teach anymore, although I did just up until last summer still as well. I would still teach music. So now I lead a wedding band. I'm the lead vocalist and rhythm guitar player. But I book all of the events for us. We do have an agency that we work through as well that helps us book the events, but I do a lot of the client management and
So
walking
that's
them through the day. I'm the
that,
MC of the event as well, all that kind
wow.
of stuff. So
How
yeah,
often do you get a gig through that? Like,
yeah, so we played last year, I think 12 weddings in total. So it was during the wedding season, it was like every other week we had a wedding, which was pretty nice. So it feels like a nice thing that I can do casually myself. I played in a cover band where we played 5 days a week, you know, before getting the first human resources job. And that was a lot. I felt a little burnt out in a lot of ways too, being in someone else's band and just playing all the time, you know, doing it for my main source of income. So it's nice to be able to do it. I do it with friends now, old friends that I used to play music with back in the day. And we have a blast doing it. It's really a great time.
And a dozen weddings a year is still a nice side income.
It certainly is. Yeah. And I play just solo guitar and you know, singing shows myself just around, or performances rather, myself around as well at various country clubs and private events. So kind of getting into the wedding scene has also gotten me into just kind of like a higher caliber of private event as well, with other agents who book me and returning people who have annual parties who want to have me back every year, that kind of thing. So it's been nice for sure.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah.
Great. So my next question for you is, right, you know, many jobs, I'm sure probably the job you're in, say bachelor's degree required. And yet, you know, I don't think anybody goes to college to major in being a resource manager.
That's exactly right.
Right. So in that sense, a Berkeley degree is as legit as any other degree for doing it.
Yeah.
But beyond the fact that it's a bachelor's degree, is there anything you feel your Berkeley experience, Berkeley Line, you know, experience did well to prepare you for what you're doing now?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I feel like I learned so much about just being a professional in the music industry from a lot of my professors, which was really great. John Kellogg, especially. I mean, anyone who has taken his music business class, I'm sure, understands just the wealth of knowledge that guy is, and just how to present yourself as a musician. It's funny, in Detroit, it's a little informal, but a lot of musicians say it's more about the hang than it is about how good you are of a musician, right? But I feel like John Kellogg said that in so many ways in his music business class, of really being the whole package as a musician. And that really stuck with me, you know, being more than just a great player or a great thing. I forget exactly what he called it. I think he, rather than DIY, it was DIO. It wasn't do it, you know, do it yourself, but do it ourselves. So he was just really big on building the network, but knowing your strengths and being able to build that community around you, but being an important person in that and showing your strengths and your value in that as well. In many ways, but as a person rather than just as an instrumentalist or something, right?
Yeah, that's terrific. Great. So, hey, let's turn that question around now.
Sure.
Because, right, you went to, you know, a music college and, you know, you got a degree and you're doing well for yourself. Very mm-hmm. well. But all that said, when you think back to your Berkeley education, is there anything where you say, you know, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't?
That's a great question. Yeah. You know, I think as far as anything that I wanted to do in the music industry, I felt like I got some really great insight into, and if I didn't get, you know, the exact answer, I at least got, you know, the resources or the means to go and try to find it myself. Again, I was really trying to focus on like the music supervision sync world. So I think the professors that I did have at the time were really great about trying to help us find the answers ourselves. And in the weekly, chats that we had too were really insightful. So, there's nothing I can think of off the top of my head, really. No, I don't think so.
Well, now there's an outside customer then.
Yeah.
All right. And this is where you kind of alluded to this earlier.
Sure.
Also, because my question is, right, there's a lot of people maybe who you found that path, you know, let's say you were like, okay, I want to stay in Michigan, be with my girlfriend, be with my family, et cetera. You start off in the HR path, and then you're like, oh, don't love it, but this looks cool. And then you're in this awesome position.
Yeah.
You know, other people don't quite have that, quite that direction, aren't quite on that path yet, despite graduating recently. And then, of course, you have the current group of Berkeley students, either, you know, in person or Berkeley Online, where they're kind of maybe staring out at the big scary world and not quite sure what's going to happen after graduating. So for either or both of these groups, what advice do you have?
Yeah, great question. Lean on your support system if you have one. You know, I mean, my parents are so supportive. My friends are so supportive. I'm lucky to have a lot of family who are musicians and have taken a few different paths. My aunt and uncle have continued to play cover music for a living their entire lives and have been musicians. And my dad is a musician himself and ended up as an electrical engineer. So I had people in my life that I could see how they turned out. And that was kind of helpful for me. Although I will admit, as a kid, I always thought, like, my dad sold out, man. You know, he didn't live the dream. And that was, you know, a big part of it for a while, which is funny, but I realized that's not true. You know, everybody chooses their own path. And there are a lot of things about being a touring musician that seem, you know, grueling to me now or something that I wouldn't want to do. So, I think, you know, lean on your support system if you can. Again, like I said, you know, a little bit more internal facing, but know that you are made up of so many things. You know, a musician is just one of them, and you can do anything that you'd like. Focus on being happy and doing something that you like, even if it's not music. So I think that would be it for me.
All right, great. And to zoom in a little bit, you know, I think you're my first resource manager I've spoken with. So hooray,
okay.
A little career fairy gets its wings. Anyone who's made it this far might be thinking, huh, this is an interesting type of position, right?
Yep.
You're, you know, work with people, you know, it's both people focused, but it's also try to make things all go smoothly. You know, you said you sort of went from being a recruiter to this, but it doesn't have that same, you know, presumably your salary to not based on some quota that you have to make. So, like, there's a lot to recommend this position. For someone who's interested in doing something like that, do you have any specific advice for them?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, again, I kind of found my way to it. I mean, the specific position by accident, thinking that it was a recruiting position. But I think if you're interested in something like this, I think, first of all, for some context, part of the reason my job is the way that it is because I work for like an advertising agency. They're technically like digital marketing, but very similar thing. The world and community of advertising agencies are a lot of creative and like-minded people. So I think for myself, that was something that really kept me at this job, even though I didn't really realize what it was at the beginning. So I think that's a great point to make too. But for anyone who's looking to find their way to it, I'm sorry, that was the question, right?
Yeah. No, okay. Anyway, wait. So, sorry, you want me to repeat the question?
Yeah, I was just saying it was more about how someone would find their way to this position. Is that what the question was? Yeah.
Yeah, and any advice for them if they end up, you know, with a job? I think you did it.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, I was going to say, I think just to wrap it up, I think knowing that the advertising industry world is just kind of has that nature to it is a really great thing for musicians and people who are creative as well. And you can really get in a lot of different ways, either as an intern or as a junior associate position, a low-level position too. So I think my advice would be that if you're looking for something like that in the corporate world that is full of creative and like-minded people, the advertising space might be the one for you.
That's fantastic. Well, I just have one last question for you, Jesse.
Yeah.
Because you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
I don't think so. No, I think, you know, for me, the journey of being a musician and coming to the corporate world was a lot about my own personal feelings of myself and my life and the pressure I did or didn't put on myself. So I think really focusing on that is a big one for me. I mean, how you get there and where you end up, you know, as long as you can be successful and happy, I don't think so much matters. So I think we pretty much covered it all.
All right. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Jesse, for making the time to do this. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Of course. Thanks for reaching out. I appreciate it. Happy to do it.
All right. Have a great evening.
You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.